With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal in New York. In a moment, we'll talk about why the public stock market is being transformed by the rise in private markets.
There's less of a sort of constraint that companies need to say something to the public every quarter and that their share prices are kind of held hostage to that. And I think that's something that a lot of companies are increasingly looking at with a bit of fondness.
Ben Eisen of the Wall Street Journal will join us in a moment. First, here are some money and market stories you need to know. Sources tell the Wall Street Journal that President Trump, speaking at a fundraising event on Friday, said he was unhappy with the Federal Reserve's recent moves to raise interest rates. According to people in attendance, Mr. Trump voiced concerns that recent interest rate hikes under Fed Chair Jerome Powell would cool off an economy that has been growing at a rapid clip. This comes ahead of Mr. Powell's speech this Friday at the Fed's annual symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Abbott Laboratories is that rare growth story in the healthcare sector. Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist Charlie Grant says Abbott is growing its top line faster than just about any healthcare company of comparable size. And since it doesn't sell pharmaceuticals in the U.S., Abbott is relatively well insulated from regulatory risk. Abbott's four main operating segments, nutrition, medical devices, prescription drugs in emerging markets, and medical diagnostics, are all expanding at faster rates than the typical large-cap stock. On an adjusted basis, total sales grew by 8% in the second quarter from a year ago. An example of Abbott's strong sales growth is its FreeStyle Libre glucose monitor, which eliminates the need for diabetic patients to prick their fingers. Second quarter sales of the monitor approached $500 million worldwide. Shares of big tech companies have soared this year, leading some to worry about overvaluations. But the Wall Street Journal's Mike Wursthorn says some observers, including fund managers, think concerns about multiples are short-sighted, while shares of companies including Amazon.com, Netflix, and Salesforce.com have surged this year to price-earnings ratios that are several times the market's long-time average. Many fans of these investments contend that such metrics can overstate risks. They say they prefer a broader assessment of financial and strategic progress, arguing that this view can be more relevant for longer-term investors. For more details, head to WSJ.com. The public stock market, as we've known it, is being reshaped by the private market, and it's happening on a number of fronts. For one thing, the number of companies that are publicly listed has fallen over the years, with companies taking themselves private or opting not to list in the first place. Let's talk about the changes with Wall Street Journal markets reporter Ben Eisen, who joins us in our studio. Ben, your article, "The Stock Market is Taking Cues from the Private Market," can be found in the Money Beat section of the journal. Isn't the main point here that a privately held company is not under as many constraints as a publicly traded company?
Right, absolutely. Privately held companies don't necessarily have to publicly report earnings every quarter. They still report to their shareholders, but there's less of a sort of constraint that companies need to say something to the public every quarter and that their share prices are kind of held hostage to that. And I think that's something that a lot of companies are increasingly looking at with a bit of fondness.
On Friday, President Trump said he instructed the SEC to study whether companies should release earnings twice a year rather than four times. And according to your article, he tweeted that business leaders told him it would allow greater flexibility and save money.
Yeah, absolutely. President Trump sort of suggested that this would be something that would benefit companies. And a lot of people do sort of agree either with this specific element or sort of more generally with the concept of it, that companies have a bit more room, that don't have to give guidance every quarter, that don't have to sort of queue up what shareholders believe about a company, have a bit more room to maneuver. On the other hand, a lot of people say that this would kind of limit the amount of transparency that companies offer to shareholders, and especially people who hold the stock like to see what a company's doing every quarter and where its revenues are going and what profits look like and what it expects for the rest of the year. So to kind of limit that is something that a lot of folks do not like.
Ben, let's talk about Tesla. CEO Elon Musk, in his inimitable fashion, has stated that he wants to take the electric vehicle maker private.
Yeah, it's interesting that this happened right before President Trump tweeted about this sort of related topic here, because Elon Musk has really said that he thinks that the public company nature of Tesla has made it difficult for the company to sort of be the best company that can be. He has said that he thinks that a private company would be a better way to operate. He said that it would accomplish an outcome where Tesla can operate at its best, free from as much distraction and short-term thinking as possible. So in some sense, he's kind of a poster child for this longing for a private markets-like attitude towards running a company.
And, of course, this is a separate subject all its own because apparently Tesla is under investigation at this point, I believe, by the SEC as far as production numbers, you know, on the cars and other things.
Right. And just his tweet and talk about taking the company private has elicited its own scrutiny. So that's not to say that anything that regarding taking Tesla private is a done deal or anything even close to it.
Ben, what about companies raising money? Is it more attractive at this point for companies to raise cash through venture capital than going through a public offering?
I mean, it can be for a lot of companies that are young and that are growing quickly. One thing that you notice is that because there's so much venture capital and cheap debt that's available to companies as they grow, you're seeing companies that do end up going public, they're going public a lot later than they used to. If you think about when Amazon went public in 1997, it was a very tiny company. And now when you look at other sort of tech giants that go public, Facebook went public in 2012 and it was many times the size of Amazon. And you see these companies are sort of getting bigger and bigger in the private markets before they go public. And that really is a result of the fact that companies really can access a lot of their funding needs without going through the IPO process.
Well, how expensive is it to be a public company in terms of going through an IPO and adhering to listing requirements, which you describe in the article as stringent? I mean, I don't think we can put numbers to this, but in a relative sense, is it very expensive?
Well, research has shown that it's actually gotten more expensive to just complete the IPO process itself. So that's one factor to consider. And then getting back to that quarterly earnings report and sort of queuing up the market for what to expect from earnings each quarter, that's another aspect of it that can kind of discourage companies from going public.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Ben Eisen joining us here in the studio. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal.